What happens when the systems we've built to protect us become the very things that threaten our survival? Right now, we're living through a paradox. Humanity has achieved unprecedented prosperity, yet we're closer to collapse than ever before. The roofing materials over your head tell a story more complex than you might imagine. From the oil wells that produce asphalt, to the factories that shape shingles, to the trucks that deliver them, each component represents centuries of accumulated knowledge, intricate supply chains, and coordinated human effort. This web of connection extends to everything: your morning coffee, your smartphone, the music streaming through your earbuds. We've created something magnificent, a civilization so deep and interconnected it borders on miraculous. But here's the uncomfortable truth. This extraordinary achievement is beginning to crumble, and the decisions that will determine whether it survives are being made by a handful of people who have little incentive to save it. Climate change isn't a distant threat anymore. It's the reality outside your window, and the window of opportunity to prevent catastrophe is rapidly closing. Delhi's smog grounds planes and sickens athletes. Air pollution kills 9 million annually, more than AIDS, malaria, tuberculosis, and all wars combined. We've pushed atmospheric CO2 from 275 to 400 parts per million, trapping heat equivalent to 400,000 Hiroshima bombs exploding daily. Fire seasons have lengthened by 78 days since 1970, spawning mega fires that generate their own weather. Hurricane Harvey dumped 34 trillion gallons on Houston, with rainfall 40% higher than pre-industrial levels. Current disasters are just the beginning. A 4-degree rise could halve U.S. corn yields, while rising CO2 reduces protein and nutrients in staple crops. Russia's 2010 heatwave triggered export bans that helped spark the Arab Spring. Antarctica has lost 3 trillion tons of ice in 3 decades, with melt rates tripling since 2012. Scientists predict 1 to 2 meters of sea level rise, creating up to 1 billion climate refugees by 2050. 9 of history's 10 deadliest heatwaves occurred since 2000. By the 2070s, tropical regions will face hundreds of days annually, exceeding human survival limits. Emissions have nearly doubled since 1988, despite 3 decades of climate knowledge, the result of deliberate deception by fossil fuel companies. In 1977, Exxon scientist James F. Black warned leaders that fossil fuels were influencing climate. By 1982, internal documents acknowledged potentially catastrophic events requiring major reductions in fossil fuel combustion. Exxon built oil platforms with higher decks for rising seas. Yet, when NASA scientist James Hansen testified before Congress in 1988, the company pivoted to emphasizing the uncertainty in climate science. Major oil companies formed the Global Climate Coalition, hiring veterans from tobacco disinformation campaigns to produce videos claiming CO2 would end world hunger. Had we begun cutting emissions in 1990, we could have reduced them roughly 25% per decade through incremental reforms. Now we need disruptive cuts of 50% per decade. What would have been a gentle slope is now a cliff. An unlikely philosophical villain enabled this catastrophe, Ayn Rand, whose simplistic worldview captured America's most powerful figures. Traumatized by Bolsheviks seizing her father's pharmacy, she concluded that anyone invoking lofty ideals couldn't be trusted. Her melodramas celebrated unfettered individualism and portrayed altruism as exploitation. Her systematic worldview, that government is bad and productive individuals need freedom from its clutches, changed American politics so fundamentally that even liberals embraced free trade and ended welfare programs. Alan Greenspan architected the post-Soviet global economy as her devotee. Paul Ryan required interns to read her books. Trump cabinet members called Atlas Shrugged their favorite. Rand also dominates Silicon Valley, where tech billionaires embrace her anti-government philosophy despite government investment creating the internet itself. This libertarian culture drives dangerous technological fantasies. Google's Ray Kurzweil takes 100 pills daily, believing he only needs to survive until 2030 to live forever through exponentially accelerating AI and genetic engineering, like CRISPR. When Lance Armstrong's 7 Tour de France victories were revealed as drug-assisted, they became hollow, not because he didn't pedal hard, but because the human struggle disappeared. We test athletes because the human story is the point. Some ethicists see no distinction between artificial and natural enhancement, comparing genetic engineering to dog breeding. But CRISPR fundamentally replaces chance with design, creating humans built to specification. Parents might design children with optimism, musical talent, or enhanced intelligence. But what does it feel like to be that designed child? Every achievement traces back to design specifications rather than authentic self-discovery. You're disconnected from both past and future, marooned in time as technological obsolescence inevitably renders you outdated compared to newer models. Natural genetic randomness provides mental freedom from determinism, a freedom that disappears when we understand ourselves as engineered products. Meanwhile, billionaires dream of escaping to Mars, but space travel devastates human bodies through cosmic rays and radiation. Even our fastest spacecraft would take 19,000 years to reach our nearest stellar neighbor. Science fiction author Kim Stanley Robinson, who wrote the definitive Mars colonization trilogy, now believes space colonization creates a dangerous moral hazard, the illusion we can escape if we ruin Earth. In his recent novel, a character returning from failed space colonization finds profound joy rebuilding climate-damaged beaches, feeling sand beneath her feet, seeing the sparkling ocean, kissing the ground itself. Solar power offers genuine hope, dropping from $100 per watt in the 1960s to under 30 cents by 2018, now the world's cheapest electricity source. Unlike fossil fuels requiring complex extraction, solar panels directly convert sunlight to electricity. In rural Africa, communities leapfrog grid infrastructure as cell phones bypassed landlines. Electricity's overnight arrival transforms lives. Children study by LED light, farmers receive weather forecasts. Solar represents democratic power. Nobody monopolizes sunlight like companies control oil and gas. Nonviolence works as a bulldozer for reshaping the zeitgeist. 20 million Americans at Earth Day 1970 forced Nixon to sign landmark environmental legislation. Today's movement is led by youth like Greta Thunberg, whose school strike inspired global student action. These represent technologies of maturity, repair over expansion, consolidation over disruption. Signals surround us to slow down. Athletic records plateau, human height and lifespan improvements level off. Our task isn't reaching utopia, but preventing dystopia, maintaining gains while mitigating progress's side effects. This is our only home, and humanity is fundamentally a team sport. Our big brains evolved in community, we hunted in groups, and our complex language enables social bonding. The choice is stark. Will we mature enough to share and control our power, or gamble everything on one more reckless bet? We cannot escape to another world or engineer our way out through individual fixes. The web of connection that makes our civilization magnificent, those roofing materials, that morning coffee, those streaming earbuds, depends on recognizing we're in this together. The decisions we make now as a civilization will determine whether the magnificent human game continues or falters into darkness. The future isn't written yet, but the pen is in our hands, and the ink is running out.